Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening is the gospel reading that we heard read just a moment ago. And in this account of St. Luke, he tells us some of the other things that happened when Jesus appeared to those disciples in that locked room. And this account in Luke, it gives us additional details concerning the nature of Jesus' risen body. That it really is a flesh and blood body, and it's not some hallucination. The account in Luke also gives us important guidelines. Guidelines to help us understand the Bible, and guidelines to help us proclaim the gospel. See, the disciples were just getting used to the idea that Jesus had risen from the dead. But what kind of a resurrection was it? Was Jesus simply a spirit come back from the grave to haunt in some way? Was this a resurrection just a vision? Maybe this resurrection was just an extreme case of wishful thinking. When Jesus appeared, the disciples didn't know what to make of what they had seen. So, Jesus' first order of business was to show the disciples what sort of resurrection this was. He said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And then Jesus asked for something to eat. They gave him a piece of fish. It's a further sign that the resurrection is a true bodily resurrection. So since Luke recorded these words and events for us, we also know that the resurrection of Jesus is a flesh and blood resurrection. He is not just a spirit. He is not some sort of a vision or a hallucination. He is real flesh and blood, a human being raised from the dead. Once Jesus established the true nature of his resurrection, he began to teach the disciples things that they simply couldn't understand until they had witnessed him, and both in the crucified state and in the risen from the dead. The empty tomb was not the only thing that was opened on that first Easter. The minds of the disciples were opened as well. Luke's account repeatedly tells us that Jesus opened minds to understand the scriptures. Now the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to include these words in the description of Jesus' teaching to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then in today's gospel, Jesus said, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." One of the struggles that we have when we discuss God's word with our culture is that our culture wants us to believe that there are dozens, if not hundreds, of meanings to the words in Holy Scripture. Sure, there's a lot of different meanings to these words. But we often hear people say something like, "Well, that passage is open to interpretation." Many of the passages in Holy Scripture are not. The Holy Spirit inspired Luke to record the very interpreting tool that Jesus gave to his disciples. With this tool, we can filter out the false teachings that many people try to find in the Bible. Jesus showed his disciples how to find him in every passage of Holy Scripture. Jesus showed his disciples how to interpret everything from Genesis chapter 1 clear through the end of Malachi, the Old Testament. Think about it, that's the whole Bible they had at the time of Jesus. And he taught them to find Christ on every page. This is not something new that I'm sharing with you tonight. From Genesis to the end of Revelation, the entire Bible is one theological narrative from beginning to end. It is about Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus himself tell us that we have the true meaning of a passage of Scripture only when we find him, Jesus, in that passage. Jesus went on to use this very tool to teach the disciples about his mission in this world and his vision for the church. Jesus said, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Here our Lord told his disciples that the Holy Scriptures said that his mission to the world was that he was to suffer and that he was to rise on the third day. He also taught that Holy Scripture's vision for the church was the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfilled the mission of the Christ. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Yet even though he was perfectly innocent, he suffered a cruel death upon the cross, and then, as we read in today's gospel, he rose from the dead. He has done all things very well. He has earned the forgiveness of sins for each and every human being, no matter when or where they have lived. For all time, the death of Jesus was for the forgiveness of all sins. Now Jesus has laid out his vision for the church to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. This is to be the work of the church in all times and places. What then is the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness of sins? The proclamation of repentance has two parts. The first part uses the law to sharpen the conscience, so that the hearer begins to understand the wrath of God that they deserve because of their sin. Repentance means I have to show you and tell you that you are sinners and that you are in need of turning, repenting, and turning to the will of God. That's the law. The proclamation of repentance leads naturally to the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. This is nothing other than the proclamation of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Through the perfect life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ, God's wrath is satisfied and our sins are gone. Jesus has given us the very righteousness of God as a gift to take the place of our sins. We have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. When God the Father looks on us, he does not see our sin. Instead, he sees the very holiness of his Son, Jesus Christ. We have an example of the very thing in the first reading for this day. In this reading we had today from Acts, we hear Peter hammering at the consequences of his hearers. "The God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. Who conscience then would not be suffering after hearing these words. When you hear these words, you should take it that we kill the author of life because of our sins. And after Peter proclaimed this repentance, he made the transition. He turned to forgiveness with these words. He said, "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." Here we see an example of an apostle of Jesus Christ following the instructions that he received from Jesus Christ himself. This is the vision of Holy Scripture that Jesus made into the vision of the church for all ages. He has instructed his church to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. In everything that we do here in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it is law and gospel. But the gospel must dominate. The gospel, you need to hear the sternness of the gospel, but you also need to hear how sweet the gospel, how sweet God's grace is for each and every one of you. You got to put it into a percentage. The law needs to be 49%, and the gospel has to be 51%. Since this is the vision of Jesus, we should expect that everything that we do when we receive the Lord's Supper should somehow be related to the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. Our words, whether we sing them or we speak them, should be this proclamation. Prepare us for the proclamation, or give thanks for the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. The devil, the world, and even our own sinful nature all hate this proclamation. It's their goal to wean us away from this proclamation. They will regularly try to substitute religious sounding words and phrases for this proclamation. Now, I may not be the best preacher. There are some other churches that certainly make you feel a lot better. There are those churches that make you feel pretty darn wonderful. But those churches don't share with you the law. It's important that we know the law. It's important that we know that we are sinners. Because if you've got nothing but the gospel, how would you know? How would you appreciate? How would you understand and be enlightened and your mind open to understand how great a work Jesus Christ did upon that cross? It is only through the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins that the Holy Spirit keeps us in the faith, so that the day will come when he will raise us from the dead and give each of us eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds